Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
The title of my message is this morning, Joy to My World. When we start talking about the word joy, joy is an expression of gladness and delight, of well-being and happiness. But can I tell you there are two types of joy. One is associated with a sense of purpose. It's associated with the meaning of life. That joy gets you up every single morning to do what you have to do. That joy is what's important to you. It shows you what's important to you. It's what you aim at. And you try to hit each and every day. And that kind of joy is not all about you. Crickets. Here's the one that we get trapped in. The second is not associated with our purpose or meaning in life, but more about what we want and what's going to make us happy. I would be happy if I had a perfect husband or wife. They ain't out there. Y'all know the perfect husband, you're probably sitting next to your nudging right now. They're not out there. I would be happy if I had a bigger house. I would be happy if I had a better job. I would be happy if I won the lottery, then I'd give all my money away. You'd keep quite a bit of it, but I can tell you with a surety that these things will not bring you true joy and true happiness. Christians need to understand that joy and happiness are not the same. Does anybody in the house fight over the thermostat? Anybody? Come on, besides Carly and Elijah. Come on, you either have one that's biblical. You're too hot? Or you're too cold? You don't need to be lukewarm in the house. But these people fighting over it. I mean, yesterday I was burning up and Pastor Man's like, it's freezing in here. I was like, it's on 70. Oh my Lord Jesus, I'm burning up. But let me tell you, happiness is a thermometer, and joy is a thermostat. A thermometer takes the temperature of the room or takes the temperature of something. A thermostat controls the temperature of the room and those things. A thermometer reflects the temperature of the environment around you. It has one purpose, one. To tell you what the temperature of the room is. Our happiness thermometer works this way. It reads great when life is good. Come on, we're all great little thermometers when life is good. When things are going our way, we're on top of the mountain. But our happiness thermometer is dictated oftentimes by our circumstances and situations in life. Can I get an amen on that one? You get in traffic, what happens to your thermometer? Woo! What happens when somebody cuts you off? What happens to your thermometer? The mercury shoots through the top of it, right? What happens when somebody makes you mad at work or someone in your family makes you mad? Nobody in their family makes you mad or anything. What happens? Your thermometer goes through the roof. We can lose our cool or we can actually heat up. On the other hand, joy is a thermostat. A thermostat regulates the environment. Listen, can I tell you, joy is a deep sense of delight, gladness, and well-being that is not swayed by our feelings. If you live on your feelings, you're always going to be living on your feelings. I don't feel good today. Guess what your day is going to be the rest of the day? I don't feel good. I don't feel like paying my electric bill. LG&E will say, I don't feel like you should get electric. We're deep swayed by our feelings each and every day. Come on, we're all guilty of this one. But what happens is it doesn't matter the temperature or the circumstance, whether it's hot or cold. When you're a thermostat, it makes the proper adjustments. It may be hot outside, it adjusts. It may be cold outside, it adjusts. It may be fine outside, it doesn't kick on. It makes the proper adjustments. So many times we live our lives as thermometers and we can't adjust because we only know this way or that way. Can I get an amen on that one? I'm asking you a question this morning. Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Do you react to circumstances or surroundings, or do you become regulators to adapt to help the circumstances or realities? The joy of the Lord is my strength. She said this before. That's in Nehemiah. We don't have that on the screen. But Nehemiah was speaking to a people who didn't have a homeland. He was speaking to a people who had been exiled out of their homeland. They were trying to build the walls. They were actually building the walls. They were doing everything they knew, but he was trying to infuse hope in them. So many times we look around and we see our world crumbling around us, and we see nothing that can bring joy out of that. He tried to tell them, listen, sometimes you got to look beyond your circumstance. You got to look beyond the situation. You got to look beyond what you see clearly in front of you. Yeah, the walls were crumbling, but we have the strength and the joy to rebuild these walls. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Sometimes we got to understand that our strength does not come from what we know and who we know. What we know, it comes from who we know. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when you start going through a trial or a situation in your life you don't know the answer to, just say, God, I'm going to step back away from this one right here, and I'm going to let you be my strength. Because I'm weak, and when I'm weak, you're strong. Whew. I'm getting out of breath again. How can we have joy? Joy simply comes from knowing Jesus. You saw Elf? I know him. Come on, Elf was so excited because he knew. Oh, I know him. I know him. Oh, I'm over here. I'm here. I'm here. I know him. That could be the joy that we have in knowing who Jesus is. When we're in a world of that's dying and lost and they have no hope, I know him. Let me tell you, I know him. Come on, somebody. We need to get the joy of the Lord. When you've been with the real Jesus, when you've been with the real one, you smell like beef and cheese because you ain't the real Santa. But when you've been with the real Jesus, there is no substitute. What they call mayonnaise is not Hellman's. Don't even start. Hellman's mayonnaise is from God. It ain't Miracle Whip. I think Miracle Whip's from the devil. Salad dressing, somebody said. Come on, I wouldn't even put it on a salad. Ugh. But when they say peanut butter, they better say Jif. When you've been with the real and you've tasted the real, you can see through the fake. You can see through. You have discernment to know that I know the real Jesus. Let me tell you something else. Money can't fill it. A career can't fill it. A relationship can't fill it. Nothing can fill but what Jesus can bring to you. Those things will leave you empty, I promise you. I know from a fact. Only a relationship with Jesus can truly satisfy your soul and give you the joy that you need in the Lord. I'm encourage you to pursue after that joy, just like Ralphie went after that BB gun, that Red Ryder BB gun. Pursue the joy of the Lord. David said he had to encourage himself in the Lord. I've said it before. Sometimes you got to will yourself through some things. Sometimes you can't lay down and die. You have to will yourself through some days that you're going through. Real stuff. Real stuff. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus is the source of our joy. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, listen, my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. He don't want to give you a little bit of joy. He wants to give you the fullness of joy. And what I love about what he says, my joy, not joy like mine. My joy. Pure joy, The joy that gets you up every day and makes you do some of the things you really don't want to do. Joy wants you to be full of joy. God wants the church to be joyful. And I'm not talking about our city church. I'm talking about the church, the one you carry with you. He wants us to be joyful in everything that we do. Psalms 100 says this. Some of y'all made a joyful shout just a few minutes ago. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Sing loud. Make a joyful noise. You can, and church should not just be endured. This is a fun place to come, because you know why? Because there's some free folks sitting in the house. You should not have to endure church. I told somebody one time before, I don't care if we do anything right, but I want people to come and know that church is something that can fulfill you. Now listen, this ain't the end all. We still have to eat Monday through Saturday. But can we shout in church? I've had some people get up and leave because the music's too loud. Maybe we're just not your kind of church. Somebody said, turn it up. But we go to basketball games and football games and act a fool, right? But we can't shout in church. We can't make some noise in church. You're coming from a bald, spitting, screaming man from you. We can have fun in church. Whew. Serving God should be done in gladness. I said church should be enjoyed, not endured. Have you ever had to endure church? Oh, Lord God. I ain't even going to go there, but you know, I'm like, man, is this thing ever going to be? This is the longest hour. 47 minutes. This is the longest 47 minutes I ever spent because I left early. But we treat church as a funeral instead of a resurrection. What you have inside of you and what you can bring inside, you have the good news of Jesus. You have the joy of Jesus. And it's joyous news that angels appeared and said, hey, I got some good news full of joy from you. The Savior's born. The Savior was born in you when you accepted Jesus Christ. So you should be joyful unto the Lord. He's alive and moving and powerful. We need to be joy to the world instead of just singing it. And a joy is an expression of whose we are. Because when you get to know who he is, really, you're going to find out you have way more joy than you thought you did. When that relationship starts to become closer to him, you're going to start going through things. And what used to bother you, I'm not saying you're going to have a perfect life. No, roses and lollipops, it ain't going to happen. But with the closer you get in relationship with God, the things that used to really bother you, you're going to start going, did I even really worry about that? It's, you know why? It's because the joy of the Lord is your strength. He is the one that gets you up each and every day. And you've started to not look at your circumstances or the things around you or the people around you. You've started to say, God, you are my source. And I trust you. There was a lady that used to, I've said this before. She used to go to our church before we came here. And man, she was crazy. She was praising and she'd run around. She'd be up front. You know what she said? You don't know where I've been. You can look how crazy I am, but you don't know what I've been through. And if I can worship God and show joy and be, I want everyone to know that you can have what I have. Come on, that needs to be all of us right there. But David said, I'm going to be even more undignified because I'm going to dance in my underwear. I ain't doing that, but he said, if I have to, I'll do more. That's another sermon. But can I tell you, sadness holds you captive. Gladness sets you free. Joy comes from a belief. It's easy to praise God when you have good health. It's easy to praise God when your kids are doing great and not acting crazy. It's easy to praise God when the money is good and you're on top of the mountaintop. But it gets much harder when you're suffering in the valley. and you don't see any good coming out of where you are. You have to remind yourself in those moments to praise God. Because we all have moments like that each and every day, each and every week. We all have the moments that we need to remind ourselves about how good God has been to us and allow His joy to be full in us. Why do we have to remind us? Because we have the Word to stand on. Romans 8:28, y'all ought to know this one. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Joy is Joy is believing that all things work together for our good. Pastor, I don't see it. Joy is believing that all things work together for our good. Pastor, I ain't feeling that. Joy is the belief that all things work together for our good. When we keep asking ourselves these questions, we just have to sometimes by faith say, I see it on the other side. I don't see it now. My health may not be showing up right now, but I'm telling you what, joy is going to come in the morning. Weeping, says Bible says, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is a belief that God can cause you to smile even when everything around you is falling apart. Have you ever been around those people, man? You see their lives kind of just good, but they're happy, they're smiling, they got joy in them. It's because they have a peace of knowing that, no, I don't see it now. Come on, this is a word for somebody. You don't see it now, healing now. You don't see restoration now. But I'm telling you what, if you start being joyous about it and say, God, I believe that you are going to do what you said you're going to do. Joy is walking with God each and every day and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you with His joy. How do we have joy when things aren't going our way? My favorite one, laugh. Anybody like to laugh? I'm pretty funny. My wife's going to live till she's 100. I don't know. She didn't laugh at me that way. She thinks I'm dumb sometimes, but... But there are spiritual and emotional and physical benefits to laughter. Yeah. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart, laughter is good medicine. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Can I tell you? That's the Bible. But science has proven why the Bible tells us to laugh. It's good for your health. Harvard, who thinks they know everything, said this. A Harvard study shows the more you laugh and approach life positively, the fewer chronic diseases you will develop. And others show that laughter boosts your immune system. You have less blood pressure problems. It fights stress, depression, and pain. I'm going to make Mindy live till she's 100. In Jesus' name. On the other hand, constantly negative people, they seem to be joyless. They risk a higher possibility of developing chronic ailments. Come on, you can talk yourself into being sick. You ever wake up in the morning, I just don't feel good. Maybe that's legitimate. But then you tell yourself 12 more times during that day, by the end of the day, guess what? You feel awful. You can talk yourself into feeling bad. I'm just going to put it this way. Laugh when you get a chance. Smile, even sometimes when you don't want to. I met Doug's brother and didn't even know it. And he said, hey, your pastor's that bald, good-looking guy that goes. He didn't quite say that, though, did he? At Huber's that day, I talked to him. I remember talking to him now because he said he looks a little bit like me, right, Doug? Bald and beautiful. But I'm telling you, you can infect people around. I'm not saying I had a big effect on him, but you can infect people around you just by your smile, just by your conversation. Come on, you've been around those people that are just always negative all the time. And you're just like, okay, I'm going to go over here. I'm going down aisle 6 because I saw aisle 7 and I ain't going down aisle 7 because you know Kroger is my place. I love it. But ultimately, joy is a choice. Joy is not getting what you want. It's appreciating what you have. And let me tell you, joy isn't always the easiest choice or the obvious choice. But nonetheless, it is a choice. Pastor Rick Warren said this: joy is the settled assurance that God is in control, listen, of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every circumstance or every situation. God, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be right. And again, that takes a choice of making that choice in your mind. Here's the biggest one. Joy is something that God can restore. Restore means this. It means to return something or someone to an earlier or original condition by repairing or cleaning it. Listen to what Psalms 51:12 says this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. God, I need restoration. I need you to restore. Don't you remember when you first got saved? Come on, you're going to take on hell with a squirt gun. When you first got baptized, man, you were on fire. God, there was nothing that could hold you back or keep you down. But over time, here, this is good. We allow unresolved guilt and shame to steal our joy. Here's what it is. A lot of people, a lot of us, we're unable to forgive ourselves of our past sins. That's the biggest one. I believe we hold on to a lot of things in our own lives that God says, I just want you to let it go. We hold on to guilt and shame and the things that we have no control of. Jesus saved you. He's forgiven you. You can't. They've been taken care of for him. When he said, it is finished, it's finished, it's done. And the devil wasn't happy. He definitely wasn't happy when Jesus forgave your sins. Here's the good thing. There's nothing he can really do about that, though, because you're covered under the blood. The only thing he could try to do is to steal your joy by reminding you of what you did. His goal is to keep you bound in the past. Listen, there's not a child of God out there right now that doesn't deeply regret what they've done in the past. There are people sitting here right now that said, you don't got to lift your hands. I wish I could relive. Wish I could go back and get a mulligan on that. I wish I could do things a little differently. Yes, I think we're all there, Pastor Sam. I think we're all at a place where we could have done something differently. But I think also we need to forgive ourselves, and we need to look that maybe a mistake or a bad choice you made could come back around to be a testimony. Come on. So many times we want to live our life in shame and regret. God says, man, I'm about to use your mess for a message. I'm about to use that thing that you've been holding on to, if you'll release it to me, so that I can have you speak to someone else who's going through the same mess that you're going through right now. But you are the one, Eric, you come out on the other side, you're going to be able to tell them, hey, there's light at the end of this tunnel. God has forgiven us our sins. Now we need to forgive ourselves. And we need to remind the devil of Romans 8, 1 and 2. Now there is no condemnation. Come on, you got to speak to that sucker sometimes. There is no condemnation. No matter what you're bringing at me, no matter accusation you're bringing, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Joy and restoration, can I tell you the good news this morning? They're still available. God wants you to be joyful. He wants to restore your joy. And what does restoration look like? I'm glad you asked. Jesus, I'm glad you asked too. What does restoration look like? Sometimes it's simply going back to Jesus and say, take me back to that place where I once had joy. Come on, God's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of what you may have gone through. Sometimes he's just looking for you to say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. When I was so connected to you, God, I want to go back to that time where there was unbroken communion. And I want to go back to that time when nothing else really mattered. Come on, there's been some times when you were able to push the bills aside. You were able to push the family aside. You were able to push some of the, you were going through the same things, but you were able to push them off to the side a little bit and prioritize them and say, God, thank you. Thank you for restoring my joy. Sometimes it's as simple as saying, God, I thank you. I need you more. Take me back to that place of my first love. Take me back to that place where I knew that I didn't have to fear or doubt. Thank you for reminding me of Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. Completion. It's not fully done yet, but God, you're going to complete me. You will finish what you started, and I thank you, Lord, for refreshing my soul. We have to remember God is our source in all things. During this Advent season, he is our peace, he is our hope, and he is the joy. He's everything that you need. When you're trying to fill it with everything else, just remember God's what you need. Here's a few things, practical things of joy. And can I tell you, I wrote this down. Joy is something, that's Jesus calling. Joy is something that can be developed over time. It becomes a habit. How many have developed, don't raise your hands, because I'm going to give an altar call in just a few minutes. How many of you have developed bad habits? Because we did a time and time and time again. Amen. I'll get both my hands in the air. But how about we get the habit of joy in our lives and say, through every circumstance, God, I'm going to joyfully praise you. Give thanks every single day to God, sometimes multiple times a day. Think about how good God's really, 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 really been to you. And here's another one. Do something fun. Come on, you work hard enough. Do something fun. You got a hobby? Do it. You can do it. Play games. I play cards with my wife. She cheats, but it's fun. No, she usually kicks my butt. She don't even cheat. But go for a walk. Do something fun each and every day. Why does he want us to be joyful? Because when we're joyful, it affects those around us. As I said earlier, smile more. Have a positive attitude. Talk to someone even if you don't feel like talking to them. Why does he want us to be helpful with joy? Because there's someone out there that needs your joy. You might be sitting next to someone in church today. You're having a joyful week. They're not. They need you to be joy to them. And you may come in here in a couple weeks needing the same thing from them. Come on, that's why we're better together. That's why we need to don't forsake the gathering together right now, because we need each other. We need each other's differences. And we need each other's smile. Maybe there's someone in your family that you need to reach out to. Maybe there's a family member, a coworker, a neighbor. Take a little time to spread some joy to someone. Anybody know a single mom out there that might need to be cooked for? Anybody need a single mom might need her kids watched one night? I volunteer my wife as tribute. But you would be, I mean, stay-at-home moms, I applaud you. I watch my grandkids for 6-7 hours a day, and I'm like, is it 6 o'clock yet? But you don't know who somebody trying to raise 2 or 3 kids. They're having a struggle. They might need you just to come over to the house and let them go and do something, go to the grocery, or just do something as simple as that to restore their joy. Let's all stand if we would, please. It's not going to be a typical altar call, but I will tell you this, that joy goes beyond your circumstances. Joy goes beyond your situation. Joy is deep rooted in God and His plan for your life. Some have lost their joy because they feel like there's no plan. God, you've given up on me. I've made so many mistakes or so many bad choices that I've just lost my joy because I don't feel like you're listening to me. Can I tell you that's false? Joy is something that's deep rooted in His plan for you. And He wants you to experience joy every single day. And having joy starts with a relationship, a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to satisfy you. Nothing. This morning, there's a simple prayer that you can pray to say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And if you've never accepted Jesus, all you have to do is ask Him to forgive you. Then you have to walk it out and say, I've sinned, I've fallen short. God, I've neglected you. Please forgive me. Make me new. Then the walk out is what matters after that. Here's the thing about God. He's in the restoration business. He wants to take that broken heart that you have. I don't even think He wants to fix it. I think He wants to give you a new one. So many times we want to fix something. God said, no, I want to do something. We look at a remodel. God said, no, I want to just build it up good, brand new. Come on, that's a word right there. Somebody needs a new heart this morning. As we get ready to sing this song, it's not going to be a typical altar call song. It's going to be a joyous song. It's going to be a song that if you need infusion, if you need God to come back into your life, how long has it been since you had any joy in your life? Sometimes we wrote a staff member, me and Pastor Mindy both wrote inventory. Sometimes you have to take an inventory of your life and say, man, what matters? What matters? What matters? And then you have to lay it out in front of Him and say, okay, God, that really doesn't matter that much. That right here doesn't matter that much. And man, I've made a big thing out of this, and it really doesn't matter that much. God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I want to get back in communion with you. That's what matters. Because when you restore that joy, when you restore that relationship, you're going to start seeing everything else in your life start to come back around the way that you wanted it to be. Come on. We've let the enemy rob us too long. We've let him come in and steal our joy. I'm telling you what, this morning, as we sing this song, let's take back our joy. Take back what the enemy stole from us. Because it wasn't his in the first place. Come on, we're going to sing this song. If y'all want to gather around, if you need prayer, we'll pray with you. If you just need to praise your way out of something this morning, come on, we got it. Let's do it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.